The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Here's the Matt Slick Live. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Also, a little bit of an issue here. Yesterday, no calls came in. And Charlie, he called, and he didn't see the Comrex activate. So we have this ability to see where the calls come in. He and I both do. And I couldn't see any calls come in. So I'm hoping that some of you did try and call. We just had a glitch, so maybe we can have a test run. Maybe, Charlie, you can call and just see if it kicks in. But at any rate, there you go. So if you want to give me a call, give it a shot. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I was just telling the guys, I just had a major sneeze right before the show. One of those sneezes where it's like, oh my goodness, you got to recover from it. And so I'm still recovering from a huge sneeze. Okay, now we got two lines ringing, so that's good. Then they went out. I don't know if you hung up there, Charlie, but you saw that it was going. Well, somebody else maybe, whatever. All right, hey, why don't you give me a call, folks? 877-207-2276. 2276 is CARM. On your dial, on the phone, if you want to give me a call. I want to hear from you. And also, if you don't want to call, you can email me at info@carm.org. info@carm.org, and I will, Lord willing, be able to, there we go, seeing all this kind of stuff. I'll be able to, you know, read your stuff and answer questions on the air. And yesterday, I did a teaching on Matthew 24, verse by verse. I enjoyed it. In fact, some of the people afterwards, we do an after show, talked about it, said they really enjoyed it as well. Also, hey, just want to let you know that what we're doing is moving a lot of our stuff to Rumble. So if you don't mind, you want to check it out, go to rumble.com/ Matt Slick Live, or you can do, I think it's just Carm.org videos, C-A-R-M-O-R-G, you know, videos, all one word. And the reason we're doing that, we're moving more towards that than YouTube. We're still on YouTube. It's just that we have realized, and I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it, we realize that YouTube is putting pressure on Christians and others, so that it making it more difficult for them to be able to, and us, I should say, to speak freely, because then they decide what misinformation is. And that's really dangerous. It's like the Ministry of Truth in the novel 1984. So that's what I'm saying. Hey, if you can, just go to Rumble and sign up. It's free. It's like YouTube. And more people are going there. A lot of conservatives are going there because they are experiencing the same problem. And Rumble, I think, is run by a Christian also, and it's just exploding. It is exploding. So everybody's going over there. So you can check it out. I think that's about it. There's something else, but I can't remember what it is. Well, that's okay. What I want to do right now is get on the air with John from Raleigh, North Carolina. John, welcome. You are on the air.
Wow. I'm surprised I got ahead of Rudolph.
I'm glad you're on. Right. So what do you got, man?
Well, last week I told you about the JW incident, and I've been taking these courses on options trading. And on Saturday mornings, I usually say Shabbat Shalom because my mentor there is Jewish, and it's a mixed crowd of good people. So somebody in there got a hold of me and said, back Shabbat Shalom, and I just found out that I
said what about what? Jewish. Said what? Wait, said what about what?
Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom. Okay. This Saturday morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And was asking he said that he just recently found out that he's got Jewish roots, and I basically gave him, you know, my eclectic background that I've always been with Christ since a very little kid, but also eclectically I've gone through a whole mass of kind of like what you've done with investigating different things, aliens and all that stuff. So he appreciated that, but he agreed that, you know, with certain religions that, you know, he disagrees with and kind of is a little flaky on Christianity because what's going on, but he's going to go to CARM and check that out. And I figured that what I should do at this point is just be open to him and converse with him. And, I you know, over the last 8 years, you've given me enough material to kind of fill it in and point them along rather than really converting or anything like that. Is that what you would suggest to do?
Well, you see, I don't believe there's an exact right thing to do every time. I mean, unless God tells you, okay? But what I would do if I were you is just go with the flow the best you can, because you know the situation. And you know, you'll know what you can say, what you can't say, and how it should work, and just give it a go. And if things don't go perfectly, okay, you know, that's all right. Just move forward and ask God to bless and to give you insights and give you ability to answer. One of the things I would think is you could ask him, if it comes up to it, why Jesus is not the Messiah, if he's really going to go Jewish and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if I'm understanding the whole context, but
he grew up Presbyterian.
Oh, he did. Is he abandoning that and moving into Judaism?
No. Well, I guess what he found out was that his great-grandmother—that's the line where the Judaism was—and he found out recently about it. And as a kid, he brought it up with his friends, and they kind of gave him the anti-Semitic shoulder, and so he stopped with that. But now that he's older, he's looking at his roots, and that's what I was saying. You know, I said, you know, for me, I, as a young person, always thought of myself as a Jew first because of the Old Testament and Christ as the New Covenant, and you know, I basically said, you know, for the Jews, you have to live under the law and under the New Covenant. You know, we don't have to worry about our salvation and stuff. So I just kind of left it at that and pointed him at CARM and see where he comes back to.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, just see what he says. Just see what he says. Yeah. Now, if he has Presbyterian roots, that could be good, it could be bad, because some Presbyterian churches are heretical, and some are very good. It's just, you know, just what it,
so
what it
like,
is.
So like me with the United Methodism, you know, back in the 60s and 70s growing up, you know, they were fairly decent at that point. So, and that's where I got it. It's like he's coming back home. And the fact that he's looking at that, and he got a hold of me, and I was, like, impressed that, like I said, I had that run-in with the JW last the week before, and now perhaps that, you know, the Lord's putting these things in my path now that I'm trying to get through there. I'm hopeful. He's like my my first however you put it, but you know.
Well, here's the thing I would consider if I were you, just to consider, just to, you know, think about it. Is start keeping notes, because if all of a sudden you start having these discussions with different people, you know, maybe it's just these two and that's it, the bell curve on one end, and that'll be done. But maybe not. You know, who knows? So what I'd recommend is to get word and or go online and do online, whatever it is, and start a note system on what it is you learned. Mm-hmm. Because if he starts coming back to you and ask questions, then it's good to just have, you know, what do I say about this one verse? And you go look at it, and you write your answer down in there. And the reason I say that for people is because that's when you start recognizing what God's doing. He sees the broad picture. We don't. And so we might see a particular and then forget about it. But if you write your notes down of what it is, things are happening, you're learning, a lot of times you can see what God's doing. Oh, he's teaching me about this or that. Well, he wants me to learn. And so I would consider that. Just, you know, consider it.
That's a great idea. I love OneNote for that because if you're copying off the internet, it leaves a breadcrumb so you can always go back to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And think. Oh, the other thing. Have you done anything with the Confluence?
With the what?
Atlassian Confluence, the object-oriented CRM. Oh, I told you about.
We
last
talked
month.
About. Yeah, we did. We talked about it. No, I haven't. I haven't.
Thousand things on your plate.
Yeah. In fact, I've spent the last 3 days working on intro outros for video sequences I'm going to be doing, having to teach myself how to do stuff, different directions. Tonight I've got a 2 to 3 hour Q&A to do on Clubhouse. Tomorrow night I got to teach Bible study. So these are things that are just huge. It's like, okay, I already have a system of learning, and it works really well. I do outlines. And I have a speech recognition program, and I can speak into it and stuff. But and it was, you know, someone was telling me how I needed to switch to Mac. And I just said, there's no way. There is no way. Why would I want to give up all my computers, everything I have, and learn a whole new system? Why would I want to do that? It doesn't make any sense. So
I'm completely with you. I mean, I'm a Linux user, and when I get a Mac, it's like, you know, trying to use an iPhone or, you know, a Mac comes with one button. I don't know how anybody can exist that way. But I deal, if that's the case, I'm in command line. So it's a great Linux or Unix machine from that point because I'm a workaholic along those lines. But otherwise, I mean, it has its advantages, but you've already had 40 years with a PC. So, and you know how
I can teach it. I can take them apart. I can fix them. I used to teach this stuff. To me, it makes sense. I've been on Macs before, as an example, where it's rambling. And I've been on them, and I see how they work. But when you want to do things, I just find that the PC is just a lot more able, and it's very stable. So anyway, that's just me, but we're rambling.
One thing about the Mac, I mean, they're trying to do the MacBook. They do have a new, oh, God, I forget what it is. But I've even considered going to it. It's like a cube. And it's extremely powerful, and that would probably be the way I would go. It's also inexpensive along the lines of the Mac, but otherwise you're paying three times as much for, you know, I don't think the bang for the buck is there. But.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. But I have we have nobody waiting, but I have a very fast computer. It's very sophisticated. And, you know, from zero to ready to work is 16 seconds. And I've got 4K monitors, and it doesn't even lose, you know, doesn't even blink. It's just so fast it can handle it all. So, you know,
I used to use 6.
I would use 6, except that my head gets tired turning that much. I need 2. Yeah. Actually, what I really want is one of those virtual headsets that you can put on and you can see whatever you want is right there. That'd be nice. But anyway, there we go. We're out of time talking computers. All right, buddy. God bless, man.
Bye. Break.
Okay, see you. Bye. All right. Well, nice little jaunt into tech. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, I want to hear from you. 877-207-2276. We have nobody waiting right now, so if you want to give me a call, now's a good time to do that. I am working on some video intros and things like that. And the reason I'm telling you is because I hope to soon start doing some video work and develop a whole series of very quick, to-the-point videos So please lift that up in prayer if you would, and we'll see what happens with that. It's been very, very difficult. In fact, I went to, of all things, may I tell you how things, it's like pushing everything uphill. So today I went to activate my video editing program, and it wouldn't work. And so I researched it, why, and people said that they're having the same problem with an update. So it's like, oh, of course. And I had to uninstall it, download, and reinstall, and it's still, then I have to get a, yeah. Anyway, it's just life, and it just pray for this ministry. It is a lot of work to be able to do that. Okay, now look, I'm going to go to the questions. We got some questions that came in today, just a few minutes ago. So if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Please give me a call. All right. If I'm not mistaken, says Ernie. I wonder who Ernie could be. I think I heard you say that your opinion on the book of Job was that it was not an actual story, but more of a parable allegory. No, I do believe it's an actual story. I believe Job actually did live, and what is that? He actually did live, was a real person. Okay, good. Sorry, checking the link. And it was recorded and written down in a poetic style. That's what the poetry is, and Job is one of the earliest written books of the entire Bible. I think it is the first penned, but not chronologically as regarding the events, because Genesis talks about the creation of the world. But before that was written by Moses, Job existed, and Job was written before Moses penned the Pentateuch. So, nevertheless, there is a lot of interesting stuff in there, but Job was a real individual, and I definitely hold it to that position, real story. All right, so I heard part of your show last night, and I believe that you were speaking about the tribulation and rapture, that you felt it was going to be a distressing time when it happens. I have two questions. What are your thoughts about the rapture? I believe we will have a rapture, but we're going to go through the tribulation period. My opinion is that the rapture is post-tribulation, and that we are going to go through a bad time, and right before the culmination of life and stuff at the hands of the unbelievers who can destroy life, I believe the rapture will occur. How will the tribulation affect Christ's followers such as you and me? Well, that depends where you are and where I am, if we're alive or not. But it's going to be difficult. But we have to suffer through the seven dreadful years. It will probably have to suffer through the last three and a half. There's going to be a seven-year tribulation period. Halfway through it, the Antichrist reveals himself, and that's when it just hits the fan. So during that time, it's going to be bad. Now, some say that before the tribulation period, or maybe before the Great Tribulation begins, in the midpoint of the 7 years, the Antichrist will come and will require that we all have a mark in order to buy and sell. So, if that's the case before the tribulation period, then it's going to be tough for the Christians. You have to be self-sufficient. And now the question then becomes, how are you going to do that? Because if you're living at home, you need electricity and running water, and you want to be self-sufficient, you can't pay your bill unless you have a mark. So what do? You'll lose your home. You'll lose your automobile. You'll be out on the streets. So this is something that I believe is a definite possibility. Some Christians react and say, God would never do that to his people. Oh, yes, he would. Yes, he would. He'd certainly allow that to occur to his people. Throughout the centuries, just millions of Christians have died and suffered for the faith. So when people say, God wouldn't do that to us, yes, he, of course. You know, where are they getting this that he wouldn't? Of course, he often sends persecution upon the Christians, as well as just allows it to occur of its own natural sense. Let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air. Alberto, there you go.
Yes, sir, right here. Yeah. Okay. Sure, my question is, why people preach against some homosexuals, but aren't the homosexuals are more loyal and more faithful attending church services than the regular straight heterosexual Christians, and they're more loyal and faithful attending the church services?
The only case where that might even be considered to be true is by them attending in churches that are not Christian. Because homosexuality is definitely a sin, and if they go to church, they're going to hear that eventually. They should be able to hear that as a sin they need to repent of. So I don't see them going to church regularly. In fact, what I see is homosexuality and homosexuals, is most of them that I've encountered, mock Christ and hate the things of God. And actually, I have areas I can go into on the internet and listen. And I do this. I go into LGBTQ rooms and just listen. I don't talk. And one of the things I've noticed, incidentally, is now my thing is that when I go in there, how long do I have to wait before I hear foul language? And the longest I've waited is 5 seconds. And the people are vile. They are full of hatred and mockery. They have no moral standard by which they can stand on. It's really interesting. And so, anyway, that's what I've observed. I'll continue to go into rooms and just listen. They don't know who I am or not. I don't care. And I'll just listen.
So the other ones have no regular straight churches at all? I'm sure they do. They have
sure,
to.
Sure, I hope they do.
They'll attend, that guy's Atlanta, what his name is, Andy Stanley's church.
Well, I hope that they do go to good churches. I do. But they... now, here's the thing. If a person has homosexual tendencies and is fighting against them and claims to be a follower of Christ and he's warring against his sin, then he's eligible for communion. If a homosexual person is not fighting against it, says it's okay, it's not a problem, and he's attending a church, he's not eligible, or she is not eligible for communion. These are the basics, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
A quick question, too. Why would the sinners always say to justify their drinking? They say, "Oh, Jesus Christ drink wine," but like that's like if only thing that Jesus Christ did in his ministry, he healed the sick, he feed the hungry, rose the dead. Why don't they focus on all the things too? They want to focus on one little thing he did to justify their drinking, but they don't focus on all the things that Jesus Christ did. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, maybe it's because they are looking to have Jesus approve of their sin. Drinking is not sinful. Getting drunk and being enslaved to alcohol is. Mm-hmm. So, people, they want Jesus to bless
them. But the problem is in their mindset was that Jesus Christ drink wine, well, I could drink champagne, I can drink rum, you know what I mean? Because people, they don't know about the scriptures. They don't read the scriptures, most people. So that justifies it.
Hold on. No, because there's a break. So hold on. We'll comment about it after the break, okay, because there's the music. So hold on, buddy. Hey, folks, we have 4 open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Also, if you want to watch, you can check out the show. You can watch it. And it's go to rumble.com/Matt Slick Live. You can see the listing there, the shows and things like that. All right. Let's get back on with Alberto. Alberto, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, so I forgot where we were. I was working on a tech problem on the break.
We're talking about the wine, drinking, and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So what about those Christians that they drink wine, but they buy the wine in a supermarket, and then they're a bad testimony before the unbelievers?
No, it's not.
You know what I mean?
It's not.
Because
it's not a bad
if a sinner other sees you buying a drinking problem.
Okay, hold on. It's not a bad testimony to buy wine in a grocery store, okay? But it could be if you say you're a recovering alcoholic and that you'll never touch it and someone sees you buy it. That could be a bad testimony. But normally speaking, no, it's not. Who cares? Jesus made wine, and Proverbs 31:6 says, "Give strong drink to the one who's perishing and wine to those who are in distress." So we have the right to be able to consume alcohol. We don't have the right to have it consume us. Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me put my one input. See, yeah, they did all that though, because the water was bad in that time period, but we got clean water, and we got distilled clean water here. We don't have that problem with the water being dirty, like in that time period. We got clean, good water. So why
I
we
got
still
you.
We
have clean water, and they didn't. I got you. We can still have alcohol if we want, okay? Just don't
all
tell
right.
them that it
okay.
ruin your life.
All right.
Okay?
Thank
don't be
you.
A slave to it. All right, buddy. All right, God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's get to Buskman from Dayton, Ohio. Buskman, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello again there, Matt Slick. My question is this, sir. How is a Christian to love the LGBTQ community without affirming the lifestyle of that?
By treating them properly, treating them with respect, but don't participate in anything that would encourage their sin. So we had just recently, I've told a story about a trans person who spent Christmas with us a couple of years ago. Well, I haven't seen that person for a while until a couple of days ago. And this person came over, I'll just say she came over, and you know, we treated her fine. No problem. Everything was great. Said, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a while. And which is a good conversation. Now, let's just say that some homosexual friends, LGBTQ, the alphabet group, wants me to attend a wedding of two people, you know, same sex. I'd say, nope, not doing it. Or you have to attend an LGBTQ appreciation day at work and say, excuse my I'm not going to celebrate that. I'm not going to celebrate their sin. I can't do it. And I would let my employer know that I'm not going to attend, and that just let him know. I already would have contacted a lawyer and say, and if there's any repercussions on this, I'm going to file a lawsuit. Just letting you know, I just don't want to go. I'm not mocking them. I'm not going to be in support of it. But I just let him know. Of course, as soon as you say that, you're never going to get very far. Because the liberal crap that's going on. So, you know, so you just got to be careful and don't be disrespectful, but you don't have to participate in the things that approve of or increase the influence of anything to dealing with the alphabet mob. Okay?
Gotcha. Now, follow-up question, Matt. So a man approaches me in a skirt and says his name's Roberta. Do I call him her?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't. And here's the thing, is freedom of speech, we have the freedom of expression and the freedom of religion. But what's happening is such a person comes up and you say, no, you know, what do you want to do, or whatever it is, and you use a male pronoun, and he says, that's it, now I'm calling the police because you didn't use the pronouns that I want. You know, this kind of thing is going to be coming. And they might even have recorders on them to prove it, just so you can be arrested. For what? This kind of thing's coming. People don't realize it. But I would avoid such an individual. And if they were to talk to me, depending on their attitude and tone, I'd either would engage or would not engage. Sometimes the thing to do is just walk away. Just, you know, hands up in the air.
Yeah.
See ya. You know,
yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
That's right. So this, we're going to have to become more and more reclusive about this and cautious, because it's going to get to the point. It is. I keep telling people, it's going to get to the point where the Christians are going to be persecuted because they don't call a guy a girl in his transvestitism and identifies with something. So. I'm just going to say, I identify as a genderist. And I'll say, what's that? A genderist recognizes male and female gender and identify with the consistency of pronoun usage and name usage in that genderist position. So that identifies a genderist. You know, that's what I'll do. Now you identify as whatever you want to identify as. I can identify what I want to identify as. Okay? I'm a genderist. Okay?
I'll remember that one, Matt. Yeah. Well, thank you, sir. Always a pleasure speaking with you, brother. I won't take any more of your time.
All right, brother. God bless, man. Okay.
You too, man. Bye-bye.
All right. So, trying to think, you know, there's ways to get around this stuff, and I would suggest that as you're a Christian, that you start thinking about responses that you're going to give in situations. Look, folks, don't put the ways of the world above the truth of God's word. Don't do it. It doesn't mean that you have to be mean to the alphabet crowd. It means that you don't approve of their sin and rebellion against God. So what if you had a bunch of people who were adulterers, and that's what they did for that's their lifestyle, adultery. They don't tell their spouses. And you found out about this. And they said, we want you to come over to our meeting where we talk about the great things of adultery. Would you go? I'm not going to support that. Well, homosexuality, the LGBT mob, is the same kind of thing. It's a sin. Would you go support it? But you see, because it is so prominent and in your face, on TV, on magazines, in sitcoms, in whatever, that we're being conditioned to be more accepting of it. And here's the thing. More accepting of such great sin and less accepting of the things of God. This is the way of the world, to destroy itself, to mock the things of God, to turn against the things of God, and then turn against the people of God. This is what is going to happen. It's going to increase. And this kind of thing is what is laying the foundation for the arrival of the Antichrist. The Christian church is going to go apostate. As a general rule, doesn't mean every individual, but this is what 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about. Why? Well, maybe it has something to do with the weakness of the teaching from the pulpit of so many churches across America, where they're more concerned with comforting the people instead of strengthening the people. They're more concerned with babysitting than gym training. And getting them out into the world. Maybe that's why. But you see, this is when I talk like this, it makes me want to start a church. It's not going to happen, but it makes me want to start one so I can start preaching the truth like this and get groups in there who aren't afraid of evangelism, who aren't afraid of missionary work, who stick together and learn how to defend the faith and are sent out into the internet, into the world to do what's right. Maybe hold up signs in front of the abortion mills and put up websites that expose the horrendous nature of what that is. Maybe there's things that could be done in school councils and various things. Christians need to be strategic. They need to be involved like that. That's what needs to happen. So I don't believe in sitting down doing nothing. I don't believe, as Christians, that we're to put the cross down and relax. Because Jesus says, pick up your cross daily and follow after me. This is the commitment that we have to Christ. It's a lifetime commitment. It's not a one-time commitment. And it's not that he can save us so that we can be comfortable and listen to the false teachers like Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer and Kenneth Copeland. No, it's so that we can listen to the true teachers like Paul, John, Peter, Matthew, Jesus, and follow after them. That's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. I keep saying this. People hear it. Maybe you roll your eyes by now. But at least if you're rolling your eyes, at least for a moment, you're looking up. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the last segment of the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. You can also watch, participate in the chat room. All you have to do is go to rumble.com facebook.com/MattSlickLive. You can see me sitting here in my office, and you can also participate in the chat that's there. We got over 40 people right now. We've got them, and I'm going to hear from you. All right, so since nobody's calling, I'm going to get to some of the radio questions that have been sent in. So let's see. Okay, my mom always brings up the question, does God really care about the details of our lives? Yes, he does. He cares very much about the details of our lives. And even not one sparrow will fall without God knowing about it. All your hairs of your head are numbered. God cannot not be concerned about every detail. Every single detail, because God is completely all-knowing, completely all-powerful. He's completely all-sufficient. And he has the ability to know all particulars and all details in your life, and all of them are considered by him. They're just as important as the major events in your life. In this, I got to be a little more careful here. When I want to clarify, they're just as important. Now, there's a yes and a no to that. They're just as important in the sovereignty of God, how he works. But yeah, an event like stubbing your toe is not as important as you know, losing a loved one in a car accident or something like that. So there's levels of that. So there are different senses in which we can understand that issue of details and how he cares about them. How do you respond if the question, I point out the woman at the well and other Bible stories that show her God does care about how the details of her life. Very good. Very good, Tracy. Very good. Good response. That's what you should be doing. All right. Let's see. How about this one? I created a, oh, no, we'll go over here. Enjoyed your teaching on Matthew 24. One question. Are you saying we are in the Great Tribulation since 70 AD? No, I'm not. The Great Tribulation period is not not yet here. It's my opinion of eschatology is that what's going to happen is we're going to see the rise of the Antichrist. The church will still be here. And halfway after we see his rise, there'll come a point when there's going to be a lot of peace, and then he will appear in the temple, in a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, and will claim to be divine, probably, and that's when it's going to hit the fan. Okay, right there. So that's when it'll happen. That is a future, not yet here. All right, let's get to James from Winston, Winston-Salem. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt, I had an easy question for you, hopefully. I don't think a Christian could be demon-possessed, but I've got somebody that I know that thinks they can, and so I just figured I'd ask, and I can listen to it on the air if that works for you.
Sure. Yeah, whatever you want.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Okay. All right. Bye. God bless. Okay. So go to Matthew 12:43. Now, the way to remember this is Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4, except switch the last two numbers. That's it. So Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4, instead of 3, 4, just go 4, 3. And so here's what he says, Jesus says, now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. So this is a demon that was inside of a person. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Unoccupied. That means the Holy Spirit's not there. All right? Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will also be with this evil generation. They're going to be really bad. So those are the verses, Matthew 12, 43 through 45. Those are the ones I return to on this issue of whether or not demons can inhabit Christians. Nothing in the Bible says they can. Now, there is a verse where Peter, you know, says that may it never be to Jesus. He says, get away from me, Satan. So this, now there's a couple ways of tackling that issue, because it could have just been a metaphor, an exaggeration. Get away from me, you're the devil. Don't talk like that. It could be just an exaggeration and a metaphor or simile, whatever you want to call it. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that Satan could have influenced him externally, and he said that. It's a possibility, but why would Satan not want Christ to be murdered? So that's a bit of a problem. So there's ways to look at that, but that's what they often will bring up. And it doesn't mean that Satan was literally in him. Furthermore, at the crucifixion, when the sacrifice of Christ had been offered, and then there was the ability for us to be, there's a, one of the theories, there's so much to talk about here, that once the sacrifice of Christ had been offered, then we, his temples, were cleansed and the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit was possible. That's one of the theories that is offered theologically. I don't necessarily hold to it. And there's problems, I think, within it. But nevertheless, there's a lot of stuff there. We also have, thank you for putting that link in, we have on CARM a lot of questions about demonic stuff. And I used to be involved in demonic stuff before I became a Christian. I've seen manifestations. I've heard stuff. Like I said, seen stuff. I mean, really seen stuff. And so now, hey, you know, I repented of all of that, became a Christian, and by God's grace, get to serve him. So we have a lot of articles written on demonic forces, and the theories, and ideas. So if you want to check it out, you can go to carm.org/... questions and then /about-demons, but you can just go to the menu on the left hand side. There's a thing of questions, and I started the questions thing way early, before a lot of other websites even existed. Just a section on CARM answering questions, and that's been there. So not only do I answer questions on the site, but also will write theological articles. Just here's this position. It's not a question related to it. It's a teaching on it. So there's that. Anyway, you can go check it out. CARM.org. CARM.org. So Marcia says, yesterday's show needs editing and posting on its own with the teaching title. You think so, Marcia? How many agree with her? I could take that and put it into an editor and just remove the commercials and then put it together and put it up on the web. I could do that. In fact, I could do that and also go in there and add scripture references and things like that, because I was sitting here in my chair doing this. Maybe, you know, we could do that. So, just another thing to do. Just nothing. You know, I'll just put it all together and put it in and import it into my program, which stopped working. It's like, oh, great. And once I get that solved, then I could take that and put it in. Then I can go through and remove the commercial. That's not hard. And then listen to the entire thing and then insert graphics, scriptures, so people can follow along with the scriptures as we go through. I need someone else to do that. I need someone else who can do that kind of a thing. I shouldn't be the one doing it, because I got so many things on my plate. Why don't we get somebody who's able to do that kind of a thing and take segments out of my radio shows and just kind of put them together? We need that. Now, someone said that they wanted to help doing editing, but I'm going to put the word out again. If you wouldn't mind doing something like that, it's a lot of work. I remember, because years ago I did the 5 points of Calvinism on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It was 5 days. I did an hour each day. Then I took each one of those and I then put it up. And how did I do that? I put up all the scripture references, cross-references, and things like that I mentioned in there, so people could see it and they could follow it. And those are up on the web, too. And we're going to move those over to Rumble. So there's all kinds of... And it took me, I think, 4 or 5 hours, or 6 or 7 hours, or one per day, just to do each one, and without doing anything else. Because you have to listen, then you got to find the scripture, and you got to put it into where it starts talking about it, and then when it moves to something else, it comes back out. And you don't want to just have it up all the time. There's a lot there. It's a lot. So, you know, I can say to the people in the chat room, hey, how many of you want to do that? And then all of a sudden, it goes quiet. So, we need a video editing department. All right. So let me get back to some of the questions. I could do that again. So John 14:9 in the NSB 95 says, Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? Who has seen me, seen the Father? John 14:9. Yeah, we already went over that. I did that one a few days ago. Ego a me. I think I did it. I'm not sure if I did. Why does the NSB say, I have been, rendering it as the perfect tense instead of the present tense? That's a good question. I think that they should leave it in the present tense. I do. I think they should leave it there. But it's kind of like a what's called a historical present. And it's, I have been with you. Now, let me get into this Greek a little bit. So we have present tense, okay? I am walking. That's the present tense, or well, actually, I walk is present tense. I am walking is a present participle. Participle is an ing. So I walk is present tense. I am walking is a present participle. The perfect tense is I have walked. That's the perfect tense. I have walked. And the pluperfect is I had walked. So the difference between perfect and pluperfect is the perfect tense is a past action continuing into the present, and the pluperfect is a past action that stops in the past. So I had walked is pluperfect. It's an action in the past that stopped in the past. I have walked is a past action that's continuing in the present. It's not terminated yet, okay? So, I am is present, I have been is perfect tense. So they both have a sense of presentness with them. So I have been is I was and still am. And I am is simply it's a simple present. I am. And I have been is a more complicated present. I have been. I was then, I still am now. And so this might be the reason the NASB does it as the perfect tense. My preference is, as much as I love the NASB 95, I wish that they would have kept it into the present active indicative first person singular, which is I am. That's what I wish that they would have done. And so there you go. All right. I hope that answers that. Let's see. Now let's try this. Let's try this. Let's try this one. I read this already. Hey, little friend, can you please stop misrepresenting what they don't understand? I remember I talked about that in the bad English. Good morning, and thank you for all that you do. Your recent message came through my email about Hebrews 6:4. Since learning about this passage 3 years ago, I have fretted about whether or not my salvation is secure. I was baptized at age 13. Fully loving my Jesus, but then veered off the path for decades until 6 years ago. Have spoken with pastors. Shall I be baptized again was my question. No, if you were baptized as a believer, you don't need to get baptized again. Baptism is basically it's a one-time event. You don't need to get baptized as a means of as if you're saying the first baptism didn't count. That's the issue we don't want to have happen. Because depending on some circumstances, we could get into that more detailed. But hey, there's the music. We're out of time. That's the end of the show. There you go, folks. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you are interested in listening tomorrow, all you got to do is stay tuned. Well, turn in the dial next week. Tomorrow we'll talk. Hey, everybody, I'm out of here. May the Lord bless you, and we'll talk to you later. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.